morning. This is Pep Talk and Sakola's expert panel with a little Neil Sedaka. Laughter in the rain. We're going to have some rain today and all this week.
Yeah, you know, going to miss Neil Sedaka. He was just one of the quiet ones that sort of just trotted about his business writing great songs. And
he was a prolific songwriter. So many songs that are hits today. He wrote, you may not even know that. But before we get talking about Neil Sedaka, I need to introduce you. Oh. Shipwood is here. Before we go down the DJ road.
Yeah, well, we can do that too. I know, Chip and I love music.
I know, we could talk about music all day. Avalon HR is in for this next half hour. And Shipwood, of course, is our VP of Sales and Marketing. Stacey Oren is here. She just walked in the door. A little rain delay.
Fashionably late,
darling. Good morning, Stacey. Are you on?
Good morning.
There she is. So we were just playing a little Neil Sedaka. I don't know if you heard it. We were coming in. Laughter in the rain, girlfriend. So she is the HR and Benefits Manager with Avalon HR, and they are regulars here on Pep Talk. I always love it when they're in the studio.
I'll tell you a little bit of music trivia.
See, here we go. I knew this was going to happen. Okay, go for it, Chip.
When I first got into the payroll business, which has been about 24 years ago now, I did payrolls for Bobby Vinton.
Did you really?
Yes.
Bobby, wow. In Pensacola?
No. Well, no. This was in Sarasota. Okay. Is where he lives down in that area.
Mm-hmm.
But it was when I was with a company in St. Petersburg, and we did the payroll for Bobby Vinton, which was interesting.
How about that? I bet it was. And just with royalties and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, because he's still... He still played, and actually he had a place in Branson, Missouri that he traveled back and forth from.
Interesting.
So, yeah, I covered the band and all their travel. Okay. It was interesting.
But you said you met Neil Sedaka, too.
Yes, I did. I met Neil Sedaka in Tampa some years back, and quite the gentleman.
Very nice. I actually met him, too. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
The two of us would have
met. You and I have probably met a lot of them.
It's a little scary.
Yes,
but I worked at an amusement park, Carowinds in North Carolina. They used to have shows. You know, they had the artists come in and they would let the artists ride the rides after their shows.
Oh, that's interesting.
So they would come to the staff and say, hey, we're going to be doing some extra cleaning tonight. Who wants to stay to clean? Wink, wink. So yes. the ones that we knew, the veterans, we knew was, oh, that means the celebrity's going to ride their rides. So I got to ride the ride with Neil Sedaka on the roller coaster.
I didn't realize you were a big carny worker.
Thanks a lot.
Carowinds isn't exactly what I would call a carnival.
I know that.
It's not the state fair.
Let's talk about payroll.
What are we doing?
I just thought I would take it.
I'm already confused this morning. You are not helping.
Okay, let's go back to Avalon HR. Tell us about your company and what y'all do. How's that?
Well, we're a full-service PEO that also dabbles in the DJ business, I guess.
Clearly.
And PEO is an acronym for Professional Employment Organization, which we've been doing this locally in Pensacola for about 16 years, I guess.
Okay.
And we're locally owned and operated. We are a totally locally owned company.
Which is great.
It is great because if you need to talk to us, we're here.
Okay.
We're not in some remote area.
Right.
And some companies that are with some of our competitors, if they call for a little bit of service, they get to talk to their call center in Rochester, New York.
Mm.
Or somewhere else that gets then funneled back down.
So, right. That's not good.
No.
It's much better to have someone that you can talk to locally.
In the state and the Fed eyes, we are the employer of record. And we handle all the taxation. We handle all the 940s, 941s.
So you're IRS certified.
Yeah, we are IRS certified, ESAC certified. We handle a lot of all the mess you don't want to do.
Okay. So we're right in the height now of the summertime. We've got all the restaurants are at full capacity with all their employees.
They're all hiring these young people to work and put on the tax rolls.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll let Stacey cover some of that.
Stacey might have something to say about this season and what's happening.
Nice talking to you, sir.
Deer in the headlights look. Or we can talk about music and songs.
No. I was actually sitting here looking at Tropical Storm Arthur here along the Gulf Coast, which is where we have a majority of our clients.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the first thing when I see something like this is that I think of is, one, your employee safety. making sure that they know that you're weather aware of, you know, potential issues in your area. We don't want to ever demand that someone get themselves into an unsafe situation while coming to work, leaving to work. So it's that time of year where we just have to be a little bit more aware of what's going on and, you know, make some decisions. If it's not safe for your employees to come to work, you're probably not going to have any customers either.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably not going to be venturing out in this. So it's just something to be aware of. But, yeah, this type of year is when we do see a lot of ramp up in our restaurants. You know, something I want to mention on this line, on that line is in – you know, we have a lot of local restaurants that have multiples under the same umbrella, the same parent company, if you will. And we have to help you be very careful when that happens because in the eyes of the Department of Labor, if you have the same landing page for all of your facilities or restaurants, if you're owned by the same people, if it's the same person or group of people submitting the payroll, you, if you work more than 40 hours between those locations, you're still entitled to overtime. You, if you do 15 hours at one location, 15 hours at another location, and 15 hours another, that's 40 hours of regular time and 5 hours of overtime.
Really? That's interesting.
Yes.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yes.
I thought because it was a different location, it counted differently.
Absolutely not.
Hmm.
Because it says that, you know, with the ownership being the same landing page for, like I said, either applications or for the restaurant size. So like if they're all linked together, you go to one at the bottom, it says, hey, we also own X, Y, and Z. That's considered a common enough relationship that the Department of Labor says, nope, if you're sharing employees across your locations, anything over 40 hours is overtime.
Wow. Okay. That's really good to know.
Yeah, especially because it can get, we have seen in the past, and she knows this, where they'll work 35 hours over here and be approaching their 40-hour work week. And they say, well, just move them to section B of the restaurant.
A restaurant B location.
A restaurant B location. And we'll let them work over there. And so then they get 15 hours over there. So now
that's
all of a
overtime.
Sudden you got 10 hours overtime.
Okay.
And they don't think so.
Okay. And that's good for the employee and the employer to know.
Exactly. Yes. And, you know, I tell them you can take it on, you know, whichever location you want. You can rotate it through the locations you take the overtime. But, you know, if all those come into play, then, you know, you can't just say, like Chip said, oh, you've got 35 hours here and I'm going to send you to this other location and it starts over. It does not. They're combined. They're looked at together. You know, coffee shops in multiple locations, they all count as one. Restaurants, local, they all count as one. You've got to be very, very careful. And that's something that I do. I go and audit those at least every other month just to make sure that that's happening. The other thing I audit pretty regularly is tips.
Oh.
There's two ways tips can be handled. You can give them to your employees and just report them to us for tax purposes. Or some people report all the credit card tips to us and let us pay those out on payroll.
I see.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But you can't, it's not realistic to not report any tips. We had one client that we were kind of going back and forth with. I was like, hey, you know, nobody's tipping you all. So I went out there myself, placed an order and tipped. And I was like, hey, y'all are getting tips, you know, and it was on a credit card.
Right.
So let me tell you what happens then. When you go file your business taxes, that's a part of the disclosure in that tax filing process, right? And then the co-piece to that is, hey, where were the taxes paid on all these tips, on these credit card tips? And if you go back to your payroll register and you have none because you reported zero for everyone for the entire year, you've got a problem.
Serious problem.
Big problem. The IRS is going to be like, hey, we're missing out on some dollars.
And
like,
the employees, too, correct?
And the employees, yeah, too, I mean, yes.
Because the IRS, they look at this as you're taking money from the employees.
Right.
And by not reporting, and that's why they have the FICA tip credit. Mm-hmm. And the reason that they have this tip credit is so it's an incentive for the employer
to report the tips.
And then they get a credit at the end of the year as a dollar for dollar credit.
Wow. Okay, that's well worth it.
Here's what it means to the employee. You know, those reporting those tipped wages, one, ups your Social Security income. That feeds directly into your retirement one day. Mm-hmm. So if by not reporting that, you're shorting yourself money in the future. The second thing is doing when you need to do income verification. You're going to go to your bank and say, oh, yeah, my W-2 says I only made $45,000, but with my tips, I had closer to $70,000, and I just want you to believe me.
Mm.
No. No, I'm sorry. You know, the banks won't work like that. So you're cheating yourself out of verifiable income as well. So it's very important that those be, yeah, nobody likes paying taxes on their money. I don't.
Sure.
But it just...
But we do.
Mm-hmm. We do.
It's part of the deal.
You're shortchanging yourself in the long run when it comes to your, like I said, verifiable income and your Social Security wages.
Okay, I've got a question in from one of our listeners. And, of course, if you have a question about anything that has to do with HR, policy, and right now we're talking about payroll with Stacey Oren and Chip Wood, all you got to do is text it in at 850-437-1620. This is a good question. Could you talk a little bit about salaried employees? Or could you tell me where to find guidelines for that? Thank you so much. Love your show and the information.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, if you go to the IRS website and
IRS.gov.
that would be the one. There is a salary. There's two parts to it. One is the minimum amount of money that they can make to be considered salary. Mm-hmm. And then there's what's called an exemption test. They have to meet one of four criteria to be a salaried employee. They have to manage more than two people.
Mm-hmm.
They have to have some degree of authority besides being able to order just office supplies. Like, you know, they have to be able to make impacting business decisions, like mm-hmm. be able to sign for that. There's a technical exemption where they possess a high level of expertise or a high level degree in a subject that's not easy to find. You're not going to find these folks on every street corner. There's a very detailed test. It walks you through and it says, hey, you know, to be salaried and exempt, which means you do not get overtime, you have to meet these criteria. And if you don't, the Department of Labor can come back and guesstimate the number of hours of overtime you should have been paid.
Mm.
And, you know, it's funny that question came in because I just had to have a conversation with a client about how they track salaried folks' hours.
Right.
Now, you know, in an ideal world, we're professional adults, mm-hmm. and, you know, I definitely have weeks where I work well over 40 hours, so that compensates and offsets weeks that I don't.
Right.
We don't track it in detail in our office. That's something we're very fortunate about. You know, you're an adult. You're in a professional role. Act like it. And if you're not, if there's an issue, then that is a disciplinary issue. It's not a, oh, hey, maybe we should adjust your salary or something like that. No. And I was explaining to a client why actually tracking an employee's hours, a salaried employee's in great detail, can actually backfire on you. Because if the Department of Labor ever comes in and decides that, hey, they don't meet the criteria to be salaried, and you've kept a detailed list of all the times they've worked over 40 hours, you're basically just handing them saying, hey, this is what I owe this person.
Oh, that could be bad.
It could be very bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, keep an eye on it, absolutely. Track it down to the 0.25 of an hour. No, let's not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's not. So you do have to be careful. And like I said, start with that IRS.gov site. Look at that test. If you have any questions, you call me at 850-475-1555, and I'll be happy to talk through that with you. There are exemptions for salespeople. Like, they right. are exempt from that, mm-hmm. that rule. There's exemptions for business owners. They can pay themselves whatever they want to. I mean, they yeah. don't have to pay themselves. As an owner, you mm-hmm. don't have to pay yourself minimum wage. You don't have to pay yourself overtime. You pretty much have,
depending
you know,
on how you're structured.
Right. You have some flexibility there. So, you know, yeah, give me a call. Stop by 100 South Pace Boulevard. We can talk it through and, you know, help make sure your people are classified correctly.
That's a great question, because that's so confusing, and it's especially confusing having been on the employee side when you come in to get hired, when you get hired, and they hand you all those forms to fill out. and what category am I in? Am I salary? Am I exempt? And, oh, my gosh, it's kind of a nightmare, especially because it keeps changing.
It does. It really does.
It's been a moving target.
It really has over the
years. I think they're trying to get better with it.
Well, they wanted to raise the salary baseline considerably, and it was in a graduated thing. We got through the first one, and before we got the second one, they're like, no, here we go.
Oh,
boy. We're not going to do
this.
Throw
that out the window.
So,
we're going to change.
Yeah, and we're going to go back to where we originally were. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for us, that was a lot of letting our, hey, you may have to move these people because they don't qualify. And with your hourly employees, it's something people have to realize that all of our work these days in like an office setting is trackable. Mm-hmm. We use Teams or Microsoft or whatever platform you're using. It shows what time you did these things, right? Mm-hmm. So if you've got an hourly employee, that the biggest red flag to me when I audit hourly employees' times is you clock in every day at 8 a.m. You clock out every day at 5. You're at lunch every day from exactly 12 to 1. No, you are not.
Right.
No, you're not.
Mm-hmm.
You are not. You are adding your time. You're just auto-botting it and letting it go. That is not good because, like I said, everything we do is trackable. So if the Department of Labor ever comes in and says, well, Meg, you clocked in at 8, but why were you sending emails at 6 a.m.?
Mm-hmm.
You clocked out exactly at 5, but at 5:37, you were on Teams doing work.
Right.
You're now owed money for all of that time, and mm-hmm. it's documented. It's traceable. And people think they're somehow circumventing the system by, I'll just clock in there at 8, clock out at 5 every day, and I'm not going to worry about it. Worry about it.
Okay. That's really good advice, because it is tempting to do that, of course.
Well, it is, because everybody's like, well, it's just easier. I don't have to think about it. I'll just clock myself in and out.
So even keep track of those 15 minutes, those quarter hours and stuff? Because I think that's what happens. I think, oh, it's only, you know, I get off at 12. It's only 12:15. I'll just, you know, make it up another time.
Okay. I'm a big proponent of the 7-minute rule.
Okay.
Okay, when it comes to clocking. If you clock in 7 minutes before 8 or 7 minutes after 8, it goes to 8.
Okay.
If you clock in at 8:08, it goes to 8:15. If you clock out at 8:24, mm-hmm. it goes to 8:30.
Okay.
So it all balances
7 minutes.
Out. That's the 7-minute rule. And I had an in-depth discussion with the Department of Labor over this.
Really?
They will not tell you how to track time. They don't care. As long as it is fair, it is consistent, but they are in favor of the 7-minute rule. Okay,
consistency is the key word.
That mm-hmm. it is a preferred practice with them, because you could get, like this morning, I came in at what, like 10:05 because of weather, traffic.
Right.
Okay, that happens. But there's other mornings that I'm here at 15 till 10.
Yes, you
are. Know, waiting on the show to start. Mm-hmm. So they are a proponent of that because they feel, you know, that's not too stringent. It gives everybody a little, you know, reasonable leeway on mm-hmm. either side. But like Chip said, the thing is consistency. Do it consistent. And, you know, with our time clock systems that we have available, they geofence. So you can see, where did I clock in at 8 o'clock?
Mm-hmm.
Was I sitting on my couch? Was I at Chick-fil-A? Or was I actually at the office?
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of companies that utilize our timekeeping services with geofences, because they want to make sure of what Stacy just said, that when their employee says that they are on the job, they're not really in the McDonald's parking lot
right,
killing off a Big Mac.
And for someone that doesn't know, the geofence is they can actually track down on your phone where
Absolutely.
You are.
Where you are.
Geographically.
Well, okay, I don't want to freak people out by saying it tracks where you are. When you clock, it logs the location of that clock, mm-hmm. okay? And it will show, like if I go in and look at Chip's clock in time, if it's within the geofence, I just see a clock in. If it's outside of that geofenced area, meaning he's not on property, I see a little red circle that just says, hey, Chip was somewhere else when he clocked in on his phone.
Right.
Hey, it's not going to stop Chip from clocking in, mm-hmm. but it is going to show me, hey, Chip wasn't where he said he was supposed to be. And again, this is a disciplinary action, correctable behavior. You know, people all the time try to go to the greatest lengths ever to circumvent a system when it's simply 9 times out of 10, it comes down to discipline. If your procedures are not being followed, we follow that up with the write-up, progressive write-up. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to written warning you.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm going to give you a final warning saying, hey, Meg, I've told you, we've sat down, we've talked about this. This is the last time I'm going to tell you to not talk. Clock in at Chick-fil-A. I want you here at the station.
Mm-hmm.
And you just follow that path. One, you've set yourself now up favorably for unemployment, which is something we handle for all of our clients. We answer all of your unemployment claims, but I cannot fight them if you've not given me anything to fight it with.
Mm-hmm.
So documentation is imperative, appreciated, and necessary because that's what keeps your unemployment rates down low. If we blow that up and just let everybody get unemployment, that costs you more money.
Sure.
Whether you're with us or not, however you're handling your unemployment, if it goes unmanaged, your rates and costs for that are going to go up. Mm-hmm. So that's something we take care of for you, and that's why I'm a big proponent of that. It's just like our workers' comp. We handle all your accidents for you, but documentation is key. You know, I need to know what's going on. You're everywhere. I am not. I need your input here.
And on that, it's very important for employers to understand that all people that are working for you need to be on your payroll.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, they will not be covered under workers' comp.
Okay, very important.
If they are not on our payroll, they are not covered by workers' comp. So, Lord forbid, if somebody got hurt on the job and they were being paid, as they say, under the table, now suddenly they have no benefits. They
not
may
good.
Not think of that at the time.
Right.
But it does come into play. And, you know, the workers' comp inspectors from the city and the county, they will show up at a business and they just simply walk in and they go, we need a roster of all employees that work here. They will call us. And we will have to give that inspector a roster of all employees that work there. Then they go down that roster, and they look at the people, and they go, well, you're not on it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not on it. So anyway, and by the way, that happened this morning.
Oh, my goodness.
It happens multiple times a week.
It does.
So we are just about out of time, so I want to make sure that we get the info. We've been talking with our friends at Avalon HR,
Absolutely.
Chip Wood and Stacey Oren. Tell folks how they can get in touch with you. And you welcome people coming in and talking about
these
stories.
Absolutely.
We love it.
We had that happen frequently. But mm-hmm. give us a call, 850-475-1555. Or drop by and visit us, 100 South Pace Boulevard here in downtown Pensacola.
And what is that near? Do you have a landmark nearby?
Garden and Pace.
Garden and Pace. Okay, very good.
Just south of Garden.
All right. Stacey and Chip, thank you so much for being here. This was really interesting. I learned a lot. And if you didn't have a chance to take notes and want to hear it again, we put these shows as a podcast on our website at newsradio923.com. Just look up Pensacola Expert Panel, then click on the logo for Avalon HR, and you can re-listen to this. Some valuable information about salaried employees, exempt employees, payroll. A lot of good things this morning.
Absolutely.
Thank you both so much. This is Pep Talk.